This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, we welcome in Tim Fitzgerald as he gets jealous of our Pop-Tarts and coffee. It's cold, Fitz. You
Speaking
look warm.
Of tarts, I'm on.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Oh.
And now, our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. Yeah.
So bad.
And Daphne.
That's dude.
Daphne the dog sitting next to Fitz. So they gave me buttons, Tim. Dude. So we've got the ability to monitor your behavior here. But we have buttons here. We're having fun. 4 hours live today, Fitz. How's it up in Manhattan?
It's good. They called you Daphne, dude. I apologize.
Oh, that's dude. That's not Daphne.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's back to normal, I think, after whatever that was yesterday.
Yeah, we're in the same. I mean, it's cold here, but it's going to be beautiful. I know you love this region, and you got to be excited for what we've got going down here. I'm telling you, Fitz, you got to get down here. Like we're in the middle of we're just to the other side of the arena, and you've got a bar truck and food trucks and an outdoor bar here, and then you've got behind the arena all of these outdoor. There's a pizza bus behind me. I don't even know what that is, but I'm excited to find out. Like
Did
it is incredible.
Outdoor bar. And a pizza
outdoor.
I did. I'm looking right at
bar.
It. Yeah, I'm looking right at it. And you know, you can walk around with them. So come down. You should come down Saturday. We got good Big 12 love here this year. I want to ask you about the Big 12 teams. I want to ask you about your bracket, but let's start with K-State. You know, in no postseason for the Cats. What is the immediate fallout for this group? Who's coming back? Who's not coming back? Do we have any indication of any of that yet?
No, we don't. Jerome Tang told his guys, take a week. And, you know, let's see how it goes. So they're into that process, I guess. I mean, the transfer portal doesn't open until Monday. So I kind of laugh when people say,
open.
This guy's in the portal.
Quote, unquote.
Open, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, and you're not even supposed to contact anyone, and people are releasing lists of 10 schools. It's absurd. But we don't know right now. We don't know who will be back, who can come back. And, you know, they want to retain more than they have. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Honestly, after the frustrations of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if some guys transfer out that we didn't expect it. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out as Jerome Tang and his staff try to retool this roster for next season. And do it in a more sustainable way in terms of being long-term.
Probably more of a philosophical question here, Fitz, because we don't know personnel, we don't know changes. But, you know, if you had to rank the priorities of what, you know, just what this team needs next season, maybe not even necessarily about from a skill set personnel type thing, but like, is it a leadership thing? Is it more of a vocal leader in the locker room? Is it, what are some of the things that you think Jerome Tang should be looking for as he crafts a roster?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You need to go find guys who are invested in playing basketball for more than just a dollar amount. Not that I'm saying that's what, that's what some of the guys on the roster did, but it appeared to be that way. And I think really trying to manage the locker room as much as putting together a cohesive roster is really what has devastated this team. It took a while for this group to gel, and I don't think they ever had the right parts as a team. They were just lacking something. But they're going to have to go find a lead scorer, a guy that can light it up. And I don't know how you replace the energy and effectiveness of David Gasan, but you got to replace some of that with someone in the post that can get it done.
I mean, you got to replace a lot of production in a lot of places, honestly. Like, people can say what they want about Coleman Hawkins. That's a lot of production that has to be replaced. You know, not necessarily in scoring, but in other places. And so a big part of that, we know, is having the funds and the ability to do it. What is the appetite for that among the donors, the fan base, the NIL base? Like, is everybody still fired up, on board with K-State Hoops enough to create the abilities, I guess, for the coaching staff to go get who they need?
As far as we know, NIL's not really public, but we know that some of the major donors are still on board and ready to go. I imagine they've been asked to, revisit how they go about building the roster and what they do, but I think the support's still there, which honestly surprises me a little bit, but that's good. I think someone said, one of the donors said, well, I'm not going to give up on K-State basketball. If you've got the money and the appetite to go through this process, it's pretty incredible as a fan. I mean, when having that kind of affection for your university, when you're that kind of that level of donors, it's amazing to me, actually. So we'll see if they throw around money like they did last year. I'll say this, guys. Well, here's one of the things they've got to get rid of. They've got to find a way to shake the image of being the team you always want to include on your list to drive up the price. They found themselves getting on players' lists that,
yeah,
maybe they weren't going to be the choice, but boy, everyone knew K-State would pay if they wanted them, and it kind of drove the choice up. So they got to get through that.
You know, one of the teams that is going to be playing over our shoulder here later today is Houston, and Jerome Tang talked about Kelvin Sampson and about the way that Sampson has built his roster and had the tremendous amount of success with that program in the Big 12, and how he, kind of wants to emulate what Kelvin Sampson has done at Houston. That's a great goal to have, because Sampson is the top of the class as far as that is concerned, yeah, and retention and building a program. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but what makes Houston great is not just the roster. They're so tightly coached. I don't know if that's the right. There's not much room for error with Houston. If you're not doing it right, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And the discipline level that they exude, particularly on the defensive end of the floor, is remarkable. And that's the great, aside from the roster, I mean, getting a group of guys in this era to defend at the level they do with the consistency they do is remarkable. And you got to find the right kids. That's, again, Kelvin Sampson isn't just out there taking guys based on talent. He's taking guys based on, can they do this for me? Can they flourish under me? And I think that's a really important step here. But just get back to the basis of how Baylor was built. I think, yep, it would be good for Jerome Tang. Go find those athletes. Out-athlete people. Get big, springy guys and mix in a couple scores and go. Because that's what they built their program on. And it led them to a national title. So that seems like a pretty good road to follow.
And they had, the path where they showed us for a time that it was a good fit. They just couldn't find it consistently, I think, yeah, to some of the earlier points. You brought up Houston. Are they your pick to win it?
Yeah.
Us too.
Yep.
It's consistency. It's consistency and, yeah, and the buy-in and all of those things. The other Big 12 team here is Tech, who, man, I wish they were fully healthy. But Tech, I think, is another team that can make a run in this thing. Could you believe JT Toppin, by the way, wasn't a first-team All-American? I couldn't. But the Big 12 is well-represented in this tournament. I don't know if it's the number of teams that we thought, but I think we're going to have teams out of that league that every single one of them that made it is capable of making it to the Sweet 16.
I agree. And you look at how the Big 12 fell in this bracket, what they have, there's five really winnable games. I mean, Houston should win. Tech should win. Iowa State, BYU. These games are ones they win. The two in the middle of the bracket, I did a daily delivery on this, are huge for the Big 12 because Kansas is a 7 and Arkansas is a 10. Mississippi State's an 8.
Baylor's 9.
Baylor. Those games aren't just in the middle of the bracket. They're against the SEC.
That's true.
And it's an opportunity to maybe deflate some of that SEC talk. But I got to be honest, and this isn't I'm a K-State guy taking a shot. I don't have a good feeling about KU. I don't like where they're at. They seem to show some signs of life at the end. But they're going to go up against an athletic team in Arkansas. We'll see how it pans out. But those games are huge for the Big 12. But I think this conference needs to have a good tournament. They didn't last year when they were known as the conference, and they blew that up by not performing well. So now they have an opportunity to maybe turn the tables on the SEC. I'll say this. I'm a firm believer that West Virginia should have been in the tournament. But I also I don't – what's happened to West Virginia over the last week is just unfathomable.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people that have compared it to the Huggins situation. K-State thought they were in the tournament. They didn't get in. They should have been in that year, but they got bumped out. And then the coach ups and leaves, ironically, for West Virginia. But now we're hearing rumors of talks were going on during the season. This thing's ugly. And,
of course, they were going on during the season.
Yeah,
like, and, you don't get the Indiana job 2 days after the season ends without talking during the season. I mean, that doesn't happen.
And I think there's going to be some legal things going on here with tampering and all that stuff. It, I feel awful for West Virginia. They don't deserve that. That's a great fan base.
It's been a bad week for them. I'll tell you, my sleeper team, I'm shouting it from the mountaintops, sleeper team in the Big 12 is BYU.
Yeah.
If they can get through VCU in the first round, I think they've got a great path. In fact, I've got them in the Final Four if they can get, you know, through that first round. That's been such a breath of fresh air, that team this season in this conference. I think they can represent the conference really well.
Well, we've got, if you look at the bracket, BYU and Iowa State have really good paths.
I wish they could have flip-flopped where they are, though.
I agree.
I wish BYU would have been in a region where they're playing a bunch of good defenses and Iowa State would have been in the region where there's all I wish they could have flip-flopped because BYU's got all of these other great offenses up against them.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. But, yeah, they've got some great paths. And, of course, I think Houston is a great path. I just think the way they play is is hard to beat. And I would love to see Kelvin Sampson get a national title at Houston. For whatever, I've got a great. It's funny how, as you age, your image kind of reforms. I don't know that Kelvin Sampson was seen as an old wise coach at any point until now, because he was known for NCAA violations that now are no big deal. So to see him do it is really refreshing and really good for the conference and good for college basketball.
And they're wagging. They're not hurt for the first time. They don't have any injuries, right? Like every year they come in and they're missing key players. Not this year. Like this is a good year for them. But I'm chalky in my bracket. I have the ones in. I can't believe it. I hate it. I'm ashamed of myself. But that's just the way it laid out. Who's your Final Four?
Boy, I can't remember off the top of my head. But it did get pretty chalky. Not only has the SEC got too many teams in, they're overseeded, in my opinion. And it's made their path much easier. So
maybe
you end up, you know, if you're a one seed, you're not really getting challenged till the Sweet 16. Maybe the 8 or 9 gets you, but not typically. So it's going to be an interesting tournament. But I actually had problems, and maybe I'm a big homer. Maybe I'm just hugely biased. I had problems not putting in two Big 12 teams. I kept going back and looking like, this guy, I can't do this. And there they were. There was always
– Well, Tech Tommy likes BYU. Tech Iowa State have the pedigree to do it if they're healthy enough. All right, Fitz, we appreciate it. Come down, party in Wichita. We'll buy you a beer.
And dude was outstanding in this segment. You got to admit.
Yep, he was perfect.